This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch the TV version of our show on Free Speech TV, weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. In a vote of 55 to 20, Brazil's democratically elected president and its first ever female president, Dilma Rousseff, was formally removed from office by the Senate in a highly controversial impeachment trial. Rousseff was charged with violating financial rules, an action that is taken routinely by most of her predecessors. The vote, which was postponed until after the Olympics, finalizes a process that began months ago and that has left much of the nation angry. The left-leaning Workers' Party, which Rousseff represents and which was first in power under the leadership of Lula da Silva, is scrambling to regroup. My guest is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights and a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. And she recently wrote an article in Telesur English called Brazil's Democracy is Dead. She's a frequent guest on our program as we followed this story. Welcome back to the show, Maria Luisa.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Well, first, tell us about how the impeachment trial went. This was an event that we knew was going to happen, as you and I have been talking over the months about this ongoing effort to oust Dilma Rousseff. This was the sort of culmination of it all, and I understand it lasted the better part of a day. How did it all play out in the Senate?
Yes, it was similar than what happened in the lower house. The opposition senators who voted to impeach President Dilma Rousseff didn't even care about the reason for the impeachment because they knew that there was no legal basis for the impeachment. That's why we are saying that this is a parliamentary coup. And I think that we need to say this very clearly. The lawyer that accused President Dilma Rousseff also said that she was doing this in the name of God. So it was similar than, you know, the horror show that we saw in the lower house when the Congress members were voting in the name of God, in the name of their families. They even praised the military commander that tortured President Dilma Rousseff in the 60s during the military dictatorship. So there was no legal basis for the impeachment because what they were accusing her of was a very common financial practice that previous administrations also used to cover expenses in the federal budget. So, you know, we need to be very clear that Brazil is not a democracy anymore, and the international community will need to pay attention.
So in the speech that she gave earlier this week, this was her last speech essentially as president. It was a very impassioned speech. She pointed out what essentially everybody knows, that this is an effort to undermine the accomplishments of the Workers' Party since Lula's presidency, right? I mean, this should, of course, be obvious to everybody, but is the Senate, is the opposition in the Senate that voted to oust her, do they even admit that they want to now undo all of the benefits to poor Brazilians?
Yes. The interim president, Michel Temer, just a few months ago when he took power, he already made changes very quickly. He eliminated several important institutions, such as the Ministry of Women, Racial Equality, and culture, communications, human rights, and he announced that he's going to cut investments in social programs, in education, healthcare, housing. He's going to change labor laws. So I think we're going to have a situation of economic instability, more inequality, and also political instability, because it was very important that President Dilma Rousseff went in person to the Senate and defending herself. She gave a brilliant speech, and I think she was very clear. And I think that would be still a huge struggle in Brazil to defend democracy.
It's amazing to see some of the U.S. coverage here of this story. And, you know, a lot of media outlets, when they want to not overtly criticize the right wing, tend to try to give this impression of balance. And so the New York Times and its coverage of this story quoted, several right wing speakers, one who said she lacked it all. She lacked charisma, competence, and humility. We deserved better. I mean, is that what she was impeached for lacking charisma and humility?
Well, this is a very common type of comment when any woman is in a position of power, right? So this is typical. So this was a sexist coup as well. And it's very important to understand that Brazil is not a parliamentary system, it's a presidential system. So you cannot impeach a president because she lost political support in Congress, or because you don't like her personality, or because there is an economic crisis in the country. So exactly, they were using all kinds of arguments that cannot be legal basis for the impeachment. There was no legal basis for the impeachment, and that's the main point. This is very dangerous. If we accept this in Brazil, this will set a very dangerous precedent for the whole region.
Now, is it a partial victory that she is not going to be imprisoned and that she can actually technically run for office once more?
Well, that just shows that how the argument for the impeachment was not strong enough. So they didn't have legal basis to prevent her from running for office. On the other hand, the current president, the de facto president, Temer, he cannot run for office for the next 8 years because he's been charged of receiving illegal campaign contributions. So that's another important point. The main reason for the impeachment was to stop investigations of corruption. People in power now are the most corrupt politicians who are facing the most serious charges of corruption, and also to implement a conservative agenda that has been rejected by voters since 2002 in presidential elections.
Now, what about the mood on the streets? There must have been anger manifested. I imagine that while the 14-hour impeachment process was going on, people were in the streets in various Brazilian cities protesting what was playing out.
Yes, we saw many protests. We also saw serious repression, and this is a main concern right now. We already saw repression before the vote started. We saw repression during the Olympics. People had signs against Michel Temer during the Olympic Games were forced to leave the stadiums. And now again, we're going to see a situation of more repression when people started to protest. And we have seen very prominent intellectuals, artists in Brazil speaking out, saying very clearly that this is a coup. So I think international solidarity now will be very important. The governments of Venezuela, Bolivia, Ecuador, Uruguay, El Salvador, and Nicaragua already said that they would recall their ambassadors. They do not recognize the government of Michel Temer. So I think we need international pressure to support democracy in Brazil.
And is this impeachment trial also the culmination of the work by mainstream and corporate media in Brazil, who for a long time have been kind of banging the drums for her removal?
Yes, very much. The mainstream media played a key role. Right after she was re-elected in 2014, her popularity was very high. We had a situation of full employment in the country. The economy was growing. But the mainstream media started to call for protests against the government, and they started to manipulate public opinion as if Dilma was responsible for corruption in the state oil company, Petrobras. But the thing is that she's one of the very few leading politicians in Brazil who is not involved in corruption. So, but there was a lot of manipulation, and the TV networks started to call for demonstrations against the government, and they were broadcasting those demonstrations live all day long. So they definitely played a very important role. Just a few days ago, when President Dilma was testifying in the Senate, giving this very important historical speech, the main TV station, TV Globo, had a cooking show and was not even broadcasting her speech. So it's very ironic, and that's why the international media has an important role to play, because many Brazilians are looking out to international media outlets to get information, because the media monopoly in Brazil is
sadly, the U.S. media has been quite dismal. As we mentioned, I talked about the New York Times article. The Washington Post did a horrific op-ed entitled "A Difficult But Necessary Outcome in Brazil," in which they spent a majority of their time pointing out that, yes, it was hypocritical for all of these ministers, parliamentarians who were themselves charged with corruption to do this, but still it was something to be done, in the, you know, that it was necessary for it to happen. The Miami Herald said what happened in Brazil was not a coup, not even close. Doesn't look like the U.S. media is really properly covering the story, covering it with any modicum of fairness. And we've seen this before in cases, you know, like Venezuela and Honduras, for example, right?
Yes, it's very similar to what happened in Honduras, what happened with Paraguay. That's why the role of alternative media is so important. That is a lot of manipulation, saying that the proceedings were followed in the case of the impeachment process. But the main problem is that there was no fact. There was no crime. So we cannot accept this situation, because this is a very dangerous precedent. And that's why public opinion here in the United States, we need to pay attention to what happened in Brazil. We have now the most corrupt politicians in power. They're going to implement a very conservative agenda, and we're going to have a situation of instability and more inequality in the country, and that will have a very serious consequence, not just in Brazil, but internationally.
What role is the U.S. playing in all of this? Is the U.S. sort of kept an arm's length distance, or will we find out later on? I mean, we already know that some members of the opposition have traveled to the U.S. in recent months, but that doesn't necessarily imply any kind of a direct link. Ordinarily, when it's a U.S.-friendly regime that is ousted, the U.S. makes very strong pronouncements denouncing it, denouncing the death of democracy. But in this case, it seems to be fairly silent, which may imply that it's okay with the Workers' Party, left-leaning party, and its pro-worker policies now being undone. Or it may just be that it's just, you know, going to wait and see how things turn out. What do you think is going on with the U.S.?
Yeah, I think that the U.S. has been quiet because they knew that in the 60s, when they supported the democratic, dictatorships in Latin America, that had now, everybody knows that the role that the U.S. played in Latin America in the 60s. And when Secretary Kerry went to Brazil for the Olympics, he didn't meet with the interim president at that time, Michel Temer, but he met with the foreign relations minister, José Serra, who is being accused of receiving millions of dollars in illegal campaign contributions. So I think that it's risky to support this interim government in Brazil right now, even for the U.S. government, because we know what happened in Honduras. I think we're going to have more instability in Latin America, and that's why I think the civil society in the U.S. will have to call on the Obama administration not to recognize the interim government in Brazil. Of course, there are interests that, you know, multinational oil companies have now an interest in exploiting the new, Brazil has found offshore oil reserves, very large oil reserves. So there are key geopolitical interests involved. That's why I think that activists and progressive people in the U.S., we need to pay attention.
And what's next in terms of the electoral system for Brazil? When will the next elections be? When will Dilma herself be able to run again? And can Michel Temer run, or has he been disqualified because of his various corruption shenanigans?
Yes, Michel Temer cannot run for any public office for 8 years.
Which is the height of irony, of course, that he heads a government, a man who isn't even eligible to run in a real democratic election.
Exactly, exactly. And Dilma Rousseff did not finish her second term. So in thesis, you know, she was elected and reelected, and we don't know what is going to happen.
Is there a two-term limit like in the U.S.?
Yes, it's the same. It's a very similar system. So it's a presidential system. That's why we cannot accept the argument that the impeachment was legal because she lost support in Congress. In a presidential system, you cannot do that. You know that. You know, you need to respect the votes that she got. She got over 54 million votes in just 2 years ago. And now she was impeached just by 60 senators who were, 60% of them are being accused of serious corruption charges. This is why we have to say very clearly that this is a coup, and we need to resist, we need to speak out, and we need to build more solidarity.
Well, Maria Luisa, I want to thank you as always for joining us. We will follow this story and pay attention to it in the coming months. I'm sure we'll have you back on. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Maria Luisa Mendonça is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights and a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. We will post a link to her latest article in Telesur English about what's happening in Brazil on our website later today. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.